I have a very personal story. My children are now 32 and 26. My children started to exhibit symptoms of something when they were around the age of 2 or 2.5. My son is now 32. He was diagnosed with attention deficit at the age of 5, going into kindergarten. And he's been very successful, even with his attention deficit. He has gone to college. He's completed an associate's degree and is now working in information technology. And that's a really good fit for him because now he is in attentiveness. It's a little bit of hyperactivity. So it's a good pace for him. My daughter's journey was a little bit more difficult. She was diagnosed originally with attention deficit, went on to have more struggles with depression, anxiety. She was a cutter, some OCD, and was actually hospitalized while she was in high school. At that time, I was working next door at Coleman Behavioral Health, and it was my coworkers who were my supports. We say in NAMI that mental illness is not a casserole disease. What we mean by that is when our loved ones are in the hospital, no one's bringing us casseroles, sending cards, sending flowers. So it really becomes an isolating event for us. Not only do we have a loved one that's hospitalized, you know, and thinking about ending their life, we feel quite alone. I feel very blessed that I'm still close to a lot of my Coleman family. And at that time, my supervisor at the time said, why don't you take this NAMI class? And I'm like, okay, what's NAMI?
So during that, to back up just a second, even though you were working in the mental health related field,
I didn't know about NAMI. So I took the class the same time my daughter was hospitalized. And it couldn't have come in a better time. So at that point, I decided I wanted to give back and learn more. So I became a trainer for the class. I joined NAMI, Stark County's board. And almost 6 years ago, I came to work for NAMI full time.
How old was your daughter when she ended up hospitalized?
She was 15 at the time.
Was this a one-time episode, or was it something that repeated?
It was the only time that she was in the hospital, but she continued to have thoughts of suicide and major depression. Fortunately, she is now 26. She is also very successful in her career. She just graduated from management school from a major retailer in Ohio and is doing very, very well.
Congratulations.
Yeah, they're doing good.
Good. Do you think you got into the field because of what you experienced early on with your own children?
Oh, absolutely. I had been in manufacturing and IT for 20 plus years and lost my job. And somehow I ended up at Coleman Behavioral Health as their office coordinator. And I could have the perspective from both sides of the desk now as a parent dealing with children with mental health issues and then working with the adult population, you know, in the administrative role. So it was a really good fit for me. And when the position came available here, my boss at the time said, did you see the job? And I said, yes. And she said, you'd be crazy not to take it. So I left with the blessing of my coworkers at Coleman, and we still have a good relationship with Coleman and, you know, the different agencies throughout Stark County.
Okay. Can you talk about treatment? A lot of what I've read and what I've run into in early interviews are it's not necessarily going to be the right fit at the very first time. So talk about the process a little bit.
Well, about 6 years ago, I had gone to the NAMI conference in Chicago, and I heard a young lady who was very successful in high school, went away to college, and had her first psychotic break. And she described it as sometimes you got to kiss a lot of frogs, like a boyfriend, to find the right provider. And sometimes people just don't have the right connection. We also see with our population and in my own personal life with my daughter, she would get close to a counselor and then the insurance would change and you'd have to change providers. So it's very difficult, you know.
Well, and I was going to ask, I mean, many of us have trouble switching doctors for, you know, if we've had an appendicitis attack and we're not happy, we have trouble. I would think that it's even harder for somebody going through some kind of a mental illness.
It is harder. I think you've got to start and tell your story all over again. And it's just difficult when you find a connection or someone that you trust and you've opened up to. It's difficult to change because we don't like change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's just human nature.
What about medication as therapy? And some of what I've heard is it's a life changer. It's made a huge difference. But I've also heard concern that insurance will reward the 15 minutes to give a pill as opposed to talk therapy. Or I shouldn't say like they're alternatives to each other, but in conjunction.
Well, I mean, that comes down to an individual's choice. And with NAMI, we know that folks are very successful with medications. There is a small percent of the population that are med resistant. That means the medications just don't work for them. But we at NAMI, in our education programs, we talk about the different medications to help educate the families and the individuals about what they are. But we think it's really a three-tier approach, kind of like that three-legged stool. Psychiatry and medication is one leg of the stool. Counseling and therapy is the second. And then we offer that third leg of that stool, you know, the support and the education and the advocacy.
Talk a little bit more about how you go about doing that.
NAMI, Starr County is part of NAMI Ohio, which is part of NAMI National out of Arlington, Virginia. NAMI is a grassroots organization started in 1979 by a couple of moms who had adult children with schizophrenia and were very frustrated that they couldn't find the help and support they needed for themselves and their loved ones. So our core values include education, support, and advocacy. We do that by offering four key education programs: Family to Family, which is a 12-week course for family members, taught by family members with lived experience. It is a 12-week program that meets once a week for 12 weeks. We talk about the diagnoses, medication, coping skills, communication strategies, setting limits, and how to advocate for your loved one.
Setting limits, talk about that a little bit.
Setting limits, it's one of those things that's very difficult as parents to, when our kids are so ill, to set limits or boundaries. Maybe it's the way that your loved one speaks to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your loved one lives in your home and is not respecting your property. In spite of them having a mental illness, it's okay to set boundaries and expectations.
Okay.
That's one example. With peer-to-peer, it's a 10-week program that meets once a week for 10 weeks for those with a diagnosis. It's taught by individuals in recovery. This class goes through the diagnoses, some mindfulness exercises, talk about medications, and it is written by peers, those with a mental illness. And it may be the first time they've heard this information from the viewpoint of a peer. Mm-hmm. They may have heard it from the psychologist, the psychiatrist, the counselors, but it can be life-changing. We've seen our folks take this class, and maybe they've been on disability and not been working for years, come back, want to be a teacher of this class, and then go on to school, employment, marriage, having a family. So it really can be a life-changing event. In fact, three of our part-time employees started out that way.
Really?
By taking a class, and now they're working. We have NAMI Basics, which is a 6-week course for families who have younger children under 18. again, it's talking about the diagnoses, the medication. This class goes more into juvenile justice, talks a little bit about the school system and how to advocate for your child. Again, taught by trained facilitators with lived experience. Our fourth class, which we're trying to get off the ground, is NAMI Homefront. It's for veterans and family members of veterans. It's the family-to-family class, drilled down to 6 weeks, and more information about PTSD and veteran resources. So we're excited to get that off the ground.
How does somebody find you? How do they make that first step?
There are a couple different ways. You can go to our website at namistarkcounty.org. It lists all of our education programs. We have about 14 different support groups throughout Stark County, some for peers, some for families, some combined. Everything we do is free. Our classes, there's no charge. You can attend the support groups as you need them. And then we also do advocacy. If you need someone to go to a court appearance, or you feel that your clinical treatment is not where you think it should be, you can request a treatment team meeting and we can come with you and help you advocate for yourself. So these are just some things we do. We're also involved on a lot of committees through STARCMAR, Stark County Mental Health and Addiction Recovery, from Housing Promotion, which is the supported housing providers have housing promotion meetings for those that are in risk of losing their housing. So we attend those meetings and advocate.
How do you get to people who are, they're okay, but they're not?
Well, and you have to think about the statistics. 1 in 5 are affected by mental health. That means the person or someone they know. So you think about any place you go, you attend events. A lot of the folks there are functioning. They're working. They have families. You know, there is a population of folks who are never going to be able to work. There's a population that medication is never going to work for, and they're never going to acknowledge they have a problem. Those are the small percentages. But most folks are living their life and being very successful. And those who may have been homeless, you know, the alcohol and drug, Stark County is very rich in resources to start the process of recovery. And we're very lucky to be in this community. We have several supported housing locations. We have ICANN.
Why is Stark County strong in that?
I think it's a good leadership at STARCMAR, the mental health board. They're always looking forward. You know, what do we need to do next? You know, where can we go?
What is effective, appropriate advocacy?
If you're working with a mental health provider, community mental health provider, for example, your loved one has a counselor and you're concerned that they're not working to their potential to help your loved one, you would ask to speak to their counselor supervisor. If the supervisor didn't respond to you or you still had concerns, you would want to talk to the agency's client rights officer. If there was no satisfaction at the agency level, then you would call STARCMAR, or Stark Mental Health and Addiction Recovery, and you would ask for their client rights officer. So it really is going through the hierarchy and the proper steps.
And learning that honey is better than vinegar.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got it. I'm back to the medication. There were some specific questions I had on that. There's been some increased writing about the increase in long-term use of meds and some of the antidepressants and some of the others that they're really not sure that's what they were designed for to start with. How does somebody know if they're doing the right thing medically?
You know, we are non-clinical. Our curriculum in any of our classes is developed by NAMI National. So what we do is we provide the information that National has provided to us. We do not give an opinion on medications, yay or nay, how long. It's just outside of our scope. With all of our staff here at NAMI, we're non-clinical. I'm a mom. My background is in manufacturing and IT. So we just, that's not something we can direct you somewhere, or, you know, have you, I would address that with the physician or the psychiatrist.
You've spoken a lot, of course, as a mother with children. Mm-hmm. Does it go the other way too? Do you find children coming to you to help deal with parents who are starting to have problems or have had problems for a while?
We've seen a change in our population of calls lately. We're getting two things. Baby boomers, whose mom and dad are now of an age where they have to go into nursing home or assisted living, and maybe that baby boomer has lived with mom and dad for years and years and years, and now they've never had treatment, they've never had services, and we have the siblings calling and saying, we don't know what to do. They've got to move. The house is being sold, or we're getting those calls, but we are getting the calls from the baby boomers whose parents are so ill